hope these messages are getting out. This is Toby. I'm sending out another distress signal to let everyone know that the secret transmission crew and myself are safe. We did find Kristen, and it's a very long story, but she's safe as well. This is week 2 of us on the run from the Men in Black.
I wish I could give you more details,
but I just can't at the moment.
We can't do the show again this week,
so we're going to let our friends take over our emergency broadcast signal for the time being.
Also, if you'd like to help support us while we're on the run,
we have t-shirts available on What a Maneuver's website. There will be a link in the description of this episode.
Every shirt sold
will help support the show and us while we're on the run, of course. You know,
gas station burritos and stuff.
And if you send us proof on Twitter at SecretTransPod
or through email
SecretTransmission@hotmail.com, we'll send you a free 1 1/4 inch pin.
We hope to be back soon.
I really hope this message gets out to everyone.
Okay, listen up, this is how it goes down. You listen to the best geek podcast in town. Gonna spit a few bars to let everybody know that you tuned in to the Geek Yoga Podcast Show. It's Som, the man, the myth, the nerd, with his mate there, wave to take over the world. Can't forget my man Rara, who can't do a cha-cha, but he's got all the girls ready to show off their tatas. And the man called Well, his name is Nock, who's a full-time geek from his head to his socks. These guys are crazy, people say that they're loony, just as insane as casting Batman as Clooney. So here is the show taking all the rest to task. It's now time for the Geek Yoga Podcast. Bitch.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the Geek Yoga Podcast. I'm Nock.
I'm Som.
Rara.
And Wave.
We are filling in for the Secret Transmission Podcast because they are on the run from a federal organization that are trying to track them down to silence them.
The intelligence agency is out to get them.
So they asked us to fill in for them while they're underground, and we're going to bring you some local haunted places.
You know, I really do hope that they're... cave behind Washington's left nostril does work out.
Yo, shut up!
Nope.
Who's going first?
What do you got? What do you guys got? I actually have 3 because mine were somewhat short.
Wow, mine's short and I only did the 1. Just like school, I fucking fucked up the homework so bad.
You did your homework. Congrats.
I think we all just kind of randomly picked different shit.
Anyway. This one is a story that I heard back when I was a kid. We used to frequent this creek swimming hole upstate in Onondaga County. It's a little
upstate
bit
upstate New York, by the way.
Upstate New York. It's a little bit out of ways from Syracuse, New York, which I'm sure people have probably heard of. This is called 13 Curves. And it's a place.
She's a curvy lady.
Well, there's a road that cuts through the hills up there, and it features one of these winding roads features 13 distinct curves, and there's always been, you know, safety concerns there. And over 70 years ago, a terrifying and brutal car accident had occurred at Cedarville Road in Onondaga, New York, just 10 miles southwest of Syracuse. Since that fateful day, it has been said that the road, which is known better by its nickname, the 13 Curves, has been haunted by the souls of those who died in this tragic accident all those years ago. This place is known for its ominous and tightly wound curves overlooking a creek, which people can swim in today, as I did when I was a kid. That's how I kind of heard the story, was swimming in the creek underneath this winding road up ahead, or up above you, and everyone would go, oh, where does that road lead to? And then inevitably that would lead to, yeah, right, everyone would be like, well, funny story about that.
It's so funny, it's tragic.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're a kid learning about somebody who died in the water. The story goes that a newly married couple who were navigating the road on their wedding night, while coming across the road, one of the curves, their ride veered off out of control into a nearby creek. And as it rolled down the hill, it scattered their parts across the hill, and finally the car landed in the creek down below where you can inevitably swim. So now you're sitting in this water hearing a story about a married couple that just died from the hill, and you're like, should I be swimming in this?
It's okay. I peed in it.
Is there like, yeah, don't worry. It's sterile now. We peed in it. It killed him instantly, and since that day, travelers on this road have seen ghostly image of the bride with glowing eyes. Sometimes she's covered in red or blood splatter, some people say. Sometimes with an orange lantern, because I've heard
because she was greedy?
Well, I've heard this story told where they weren't in a car, they were in a carriage.
It goes back farther?
It might go back further than
or it
people
been,
could just up the years as the story goes on.
How did she meet Larfleeze?
Jesus Christ.
It's a possibility that they were in, you know, they just gotten married. They're taking a carriage ride up this road.
That's true.
Too,
I mean,
people still do that to this day.
To this day.
Dona and I were looking into whether or not to do that.
Especially in upstate New York in the fall. I mean, it's beautiful up there and winding through those roads and the hills. If you've ever gone through New York State in the fall, you know it's a really beautiful place to do something like that.
Unless you live here and see it every year. All of your life.
Leafers!
Yeah, the frickin' leafers. So sometimes they see her wandering the curves or standing amongst the hills with the lantern, wandering the shoulder of the road. Not many people say that she's been violent or attacking. However, there has been some that say that she appeared to leap out at their vehicles while they were passing by the roads. Almost causing them to crash. Because there's been, since the years, there's been lots of accounts of people almost crashing there. And there's, not every single account, but a lot of those accounts have been, well, we saw something and it kind of caused us to crash. So maybe the bride, maybe not. Another thing that people have spotted, a ghostly image in their rearview mirrors while they're driving these curves. But only in these, stretch of the 13 curves. And if they look back, to see if there's somebody sitting in their back seat, nothing's ever there. But it's always the same ghostly white image of a bride in the rearview mirror, which is
the group was like, I'm cool being dead.
Yeah, right?
It's cool. I'm moving on.
Well, I wonder if, the bride was stuck in the car and the groom was the one that had his body parts scattered, mm-hmm. you know, because maybe that went to, you know, I don't know how apparitions work, really, so... the rearview mirror. Yeah, so now it's become a tradition to travel this road on Halloween night for everyone up in Syracuse. And I know the police have been trying to stop it.
Yeah,
because as people more and more people do it,
it's a traffic problem.
And you're going to end up really causing an accident, and somebody else will probably die on that very same road.
Well, you know what? If somebody else dies, maybe they can take the bride into the afterlife.
Yeah, there we go. Finally give them some closure, you know?
Give her the next husband.
Yeah. And a lot of these trips have had people report encounters of the bride. So, I don't know. Cool. It's something pretty cool, yeah.
That's kind of like, you know, you see that in movies sometimes, too. So it's kind of like a neat thing of, I don't know, someone's life cut too short, and they're sort of like, angry
trapped
about it
now, yeah.
Trapped and angry about it. So they do this shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That was one that stuck out to me as just when I was a kid remembering it. Because while I was doing research for this episode, I came on one that was sort of like that from down in PA. And it just was like, oh my God, that's right. I remember being told one when I was a kid. And that one just stuck with me ever since. Now, that's one of my favorite ghost ones.
Cool.
You guys have any other ghost ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My second one is a little bit more not necessarily ghost, but more kind of
this is
alternate dimension stuff. So I wanted to keep on the ghost train.
Oh yeah, all mine are ghosts. I'll go next if that's okay.
Yeah, what do you got?
Mine's more benign, I guess. It's sort of more of just a local folklore kind of haunting thing.
Yeah.
Here in the Triple Cities area, we have a science center called the Roberson.
Mm-hmm.
And attached to the science center is an actual mansion.
Mansion.
Where the original people lived. But I'm not going to talk about that one because I just messed up my notes.
Oh, no.
I'm going to talk about something else.
All right.
Because where I have my number one, where I'm supposed to start...
It's actually the number two.
But here's the connection. They were both designed by the same guy.
Oh, really?
So the same architect designed both buildings. So that's how I was going to link them together for this,
for
this episode.
Okay.
So before the Roberson, let's talk about this. The New York State Inebriate Asylum, or the Castle on the Hill.
Castle on the Hill.
Now, this one I want to start with because it's straight up out of a Blumhouse. What's the logo that has the skull with the buzzsaw in it?
Buzzsaw in it?
that I know those kind of horror movies, yeah. You know, where it's like, this building looks like it should be fucking haunted.
Yeah, you just drive by it, and it looks like this place has history to it.
Right.
And sadly, it looks haunted in the daylight. That's how scary this place actually is.
And it's actually pretty cool. Let's see. This is some tidbits I have here. Opened in 1864, this large Gothic revival building looks straight out of a horror movie, like we just said.
Yeah.
It was the first place in, I think, America where they treated alcoholism as a disease and started treating people there.
From what I've heard, so, that's what I heard.
There was like some new stuff they did. It was also the first place that they started using electroshock.
Oh, shit.
As a form of treatment.
Yeah.
So, well, they were all drunk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, back then when they were just starting out with this stuff, it was crude.
Well, electricity was still very, very new.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there were some that did not go according to plan.
Treatment might have been a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also used lobotomy a lot.
Yeah.
Back then it was probably the ice pick lobotomy where they went in through the eye socket, the corner of the eye. And then you go down so far, and then you kind of just scramble things around.
Right.
Those damn drunkards.
Well, this is just background I'm setting up here for this, because it's also around this time period where the psychological sciences were still kind of forming.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people put in there that may not have been insane.
Yeah, who shouldn't have been there, really.
Who shouldn't have been there and therefore suffered these treatments. Or like even back then, that was sort of an easy way to get rid of somebody.
Yep.
Right,
so, you know, family members, political opponents, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you could have them, like, deemed insane.
I'm sure there was a lot of gaslighting going on, too. No, you're insane. And you've convinced them that.
Exactly.
Shit, I feel better.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there was a lot of that going on around that time, too.
Or if you have enough money, you can just say, you know, here's $500. I need this person locked up for a couple of months.
Yeah. They never come back the same.
Yep. They never come back to pick them up.
Yeah. So, I mean, even just standing on the grounds of that place gives you an eerie feeling.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's just, and now it's all fenced off, and there's like, with our local university, they want to try to like save it as a historical building.
But this is not the one on Court Street.
It is.
Industrial Parkway.
Yeah, it's up on the hill.
Right.
On the
hill. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
right before you kind of get to the industrial park, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I think the industrial park is like still far down.
Still further up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. It's the next road.
It's about north. 5 minutes. Like it's like a couple minutes before the nudie bars.
Yeah. There you go. You know everyone knows that.
Yeah. Let's see. What else did I got here on this place?
This is going to people in Texas.
Well, I know people have. There's like a little manhole that's a couple feet away from that place, and
wait, away from the nudie bar? Or
no,
the castle?
I mean, yes, the nudie bar, but away from the castle, and because like you said, it's fenced off. But I know some kids that have gotten in there because there's a little manhole that has a little passageway that goes right to it, and it's just a couple feet off of the premises.
Uh-huh.
And the manhole is easily accessible. You can actually pop it open. It's not fenced off at all. But the thing is, you gotta like traipse through this small little half submerged passageway to get into the basement.
You gotta go
through. And I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, so it's already creepy enough just getting in.
Now, I'm not necessarily hugely supernatural, but I get weird fucking feelings from that, and I will not be doing that shit.
Well, here's the thing. According to the research and stuff that I did, you can actually see stuff that people have captured there.
Yeah.
About 13 years ago, 2003, something like that. A local paranormal group went in there and they did one of their investigations.
Yeah.
And if you do a search for, I'll read it again just in case you folks want to do it, the New York State Inebriate Asylum or the Castle on the Hill in Binghamton, New York, you can see some of the stuff they've captured. And some of the stuff they've captured, they've listed as, and I just looked at it today just as a refresher, there are orb pictures, there are like pictures of ectoplasm, this is what they're saying, and apparitions in this mist that you can see forming.
Yeah.
You know, there's still photographs, so it's not like you're seeing, like, you know.
But still.
Vigo.
Right, yeah, you're not ever seeing.
You're not going to see that.
Living painting.
Yeah. You know,
rivers of pink slime.
Yeah, I mean, but you can see the stuff that they supposedly had captured on their website.
Taco me.
So
I'll have to look those up because I knew that there was photos and stuff that existed, but I've never hunted them down.
Yeah. And
aside from actual, like, testimonial of people who have worked there, that's pretty much what I got in terms of how why that place is haunted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just talking to people locally, I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're going to come across somebody that has some sort of eerie story about that place.
Right.
And when it comes to asylums that are that old, bad shit happened back then. People died unexpectedly. You know, experiments were done on these people with electroshock, with lobotomies, you know, alcoholism. Even homosexuality at one point in time was considered a mental illness. So people were going in there that may not have had mental illnesses and was just treated so brutally. And, you know, people do die from these things.
Well, yeah, and just all that negative energy has got to have some sort of reaction in there.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a cool place to check out.
And this guy, so the guy that built that also built the Roberson Mansion?
Yeah, the Roberson Mansion.
We should find out if he built anything else and then pattern them out and see if it comes out to a
well, because we've already got two haunted buildings they built.
Yeah, right. Because, holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty nutty.
Was the mansion built there, do we know? Or was it moved there?
It was built there.
It was built there?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I
couldn't remember if it was actually built there or not.
They just added the museum part onto it.
And they added the museum part onto it. Okay, that's what it was.
I mean, that's always pretty good, though, where you can feel, like, someone behind you, the door's closing in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's another place, just like the Inebriate Asylum, where it's like, there's places in the Roberson where you just feel, it just feels odd. There's something off. Not that you can place it, not that it's negative. You know, it's just...
But you know something's not right. Like,
since
like,
we're talking about it, I can, like, talk about it.
Well, I have the short one about the Sherwood Inn in Green in my area.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Green, New York is Sherwood Inn. I don't have much on it because this webpage sucks. it's located at 25 Genesee Street. There's been reports of apparitions. A girl killed herself in either room 207 or 209. Her name was Rebecca. She kind of just haunts the halls. Not really scaring anybody, just shows
up.
A presence in the hallway.
Yeah.
Just going to the ice maker.
Yeah.
I just need to get some ice.
And this place, it's gone through a few different owners throughout the years. There was no date on when the girl was reportedly killed herself. But,
you know, Jordan, I'm pretty sure that's where one of our local news stations, about 4 or 5 years ago.
That's the Barron's Inn. That's the other ones I have.
Yeah.
That one has a little bit more interesting history.
I don't know that one.
Well, there you go.
No.
Wait.
You go next.
Okay, we're not doing the Barron?
We'll circle back.
Okay. So, since these have all been pretty much localized to Broome and Onondaga County.
Yeah. And Shenango.
Not in Shenango, but, you know, to the southern tier of New York. I want to shoot up to the North Country. About an hour south of Montreal, an hour west of Burlington, on Lake Champlain, is the city of Plattsburgh. And Plattsburgh's my alma mater. Loved going there. Great school. And I loved my dorm room, which was in Harrington Hall. Right next to Harrington Hall is McDonough Hall. And McDonough Hall is fucking haunted. I had friends who lived there. I'd be there partying. Yes, I was a little drunk, but not all the time. Sometimes we were just playing video games.
Yeah.
But right. No, and I'm not the only one. There's a lot of reports of radios that would turn themselves on. Mm. No one touching them. Things moved, washcloths, towels, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for a while back in the 80s, there was a string of, it was, 1 year, give me one sec to pull up. I had it right here. But of course, you know, then you look back at a whole list of text.
Yeah, and then you're like, where was
I that just exactly? Saw that date.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, there was one semester where the fire alarm, here we go. In the 1982 to 1983 academic year, fire alarms in McDonough rang at 3:30 a.m. 13 times.
Jeez.
And the fire department couldn't explain a single one of them.
Huh.
Yeah, this is, and what the cause is, so far as people can tell, the field that was built on used to be back during the War of 1812.
Yeah.
It was a hanging ground for the local armory.
Oh, shit.
And it was swampy, marshland, all that.
Yeah.
And it got drained for building
the school?
McDonough Hall. And while they were building it, the excavators found two graves. And one of the stones couldn't be read at all. The other, they could make out a name on. The name, it said, wife of Benji, last name appeared to be Vaughn, and daughter of Nathan and Roseanne Averill, died December 12, 1812, age 47 years. And they found the two headstones, they could make out the other one, and a piece of bone, a joint thing.
Some sort of bone.
Now, they did set these aside, and they were out, and they disappeared. Now, people figured it was just, like, souvenir, you know, bandits, whatever. You know, somebody's like, oh, this will be awesome, this will look great.
I could hawk this at some point.
You know, but, yeah. I mean, this was 1949, so this wasn't exactly, you know, the era of eBay here.
Right, yeah.
And they were never recovered. Nobody knows how they disappeared.
Wow.
There is still the chance that it was just somebody took them, but, yeah.
So to this day, those headstones have never been found?
They've never been found. Well, only one went missing.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't find out which one.
Yeah.
I also, while doing some research, read an account of a girl who stayed there back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And her and her roommate had dealt with a lot of the same stuff. She was there during the semester of the 3:30 a.m. fire alarms.
Fire alarms, yeah.
And her and her roommate saw their washcloth, like, come off of the towel rack, like, up and down. Just drop. And she also reported that one night she was in her bunk, the top bunk, while her roommate was studying.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she couldn't move. And her roommate started asking, you know, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And once she could finally move again, she said, what? And her roommate said, somebody was calling our names.
That's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
A paranormal team did go in and investigate. They got audio of somebody talking in the attic. But, yeah.
Hmm.
They went in, by the way, it was 2010, I want to say.
Because
they went while I was still there.
Oh, while you were still there?
Yeah, like, it was a cool event. I mean, I remember sitting there, like, everybody's talking about, like, oh my god, we have a big...
Yeah,
honestly, cool. I think it was Ghost Hunters. I'm not sure.
Was it like a crude? Like a TV crude?
Yeah, it was a full
crew. Oh, wow.
That's cool. Yeah. TV crew and everything. Like I said, I want to say it's Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that one, but yeah.
Well, there's like three or four of them at the time, so.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, that's just one of the haunts in Plattsburgh, but.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was always cool. And it's a beautiful dorm, by the way.
Well, it's cool that you have a connection to it there, too, because you went to the school. So that's pretty cool. Oh, shit.
You got another one?
I want to go because I have to make a correction.
Go.
Because I mixed up on my notes.
Yeah, that's right.
Again.
Mess up number two.
This is why we don't do notes.
That's right.
We mess them up.
That's right. So it's not the Roberson that was designed by the same guy.
Okay.
It's the Phelps Mansion.
Oh, Phelps.
Right across the street.
Right across the street, though.
Right across the street. See how that works?
Yeah.
So that's why I was confused. I went to 1102 when the party was actually at 1101.
And you didn't hear the music blaring next
door. See? So instead I end up playing
Story of his life.
I know the Phelps Mansion is also one that is said to have high activity.
Right. Well, that's another one that was designed around the same time, commissioned by a local businessman. And I'll just run through some of the stuff that people have said has happened there.
Yeah.
Now, these are all buildings that are, like, working on 200 years old.
Oh, they're old.
So, you know, that's what we're dealing with here. So, it's now open up for, I think, events like weddings and shit. So...
Yeah, we're not looking at there.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful building. It was recently redone. So, here are the things that people say have gone on there. Candles moving around on their own. There are elevators because it's a multi-floor building going up and down by themselves.
Yeah.
People talking on corridors and there's no one there. Mm. Doors slamming. Mm. There's one instance where an employee said, while they were on a tour, I think, doing a tour, like a metal fireplace bar flew out at her.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, like, an actual object was...
That's a rude ghost.
Yeah.
They're just fucking rude.
Yeah.
And hands on clocks, like, because they have antique clocks in there that no longer work, moving on their own.
All of a sudden working.
And changing time. Yeah. That kind
Those broken clocks are right more than twice a day. Those broken clocks are right more than twice a day.
That's actually pretty good.
You got another one, Sam?
Well, mine kind of shifts from ghost stories and more into...
Let's jump into the dimensional rift.
Yeah, well, first there was this place I found called Pine Bush. It is down in the Catskills, New York, Appalachian, Hudson Valley area. And this is a place that has been known for high... UFO activity and strange creature sightings and
also a lot of drinking.
Well, yeah, it is you know, Hudson Valley, New York, so there's not too much else going on other than like forest land and drinking. So yeah, unfortunately now this area has like a lot of condos and places have come in and used up all the farmland where a lot of these sightings have happened. But back in the day, there was a lot of weird sightings of boomerang or very thinly shaped UFOs in the sky. And over 2,000 sightings of this happened within a couple of weeks' time. And ever since then, there has been weird shit happening in this town. Places coming up things coming up missing. You know, people hearing stuff, seeing weird creatures that, you know, multiple accounts have these creatures moving like in still photograph frames, not smoothly, like you would see a normal person walking,
like somebody yanked every third frame out of a
right,
video.
Exactly. So it was this like scattershot image of these things. And it was just weird stuff like that. And a lot of like, paralysis stories where people would say they woke up and they couldn't move. Only thing they could do was move their eyes, and it was like either blinding light or crushing darkness. It was always those two things. And within these dark and light realms, people would feel like getting poked, prodded, or they feel like their skin's on fire, or somebody's raking over things. They could hear voices. So really weird shit like that out of this town, Pine Bush. And I guess over the years, it was kind of low-key. Everyone was kind of afraid to embrace the strangeness of the town. Somebody did an expose on weird alien sightings across the United States and featured this town in one of the books. And ever since then, this was like back in the 80s or something like that, the town has kind of come to embrace it. So if you go down there now... It's kind of like Roswell, New Mexico, where diners and barbershops and people kind of embrace that weird shit happens in this town.
Now, the thing about the waking up and all that and being unable to move.
Yeah.
This does, I do want to put out, there is a medical condition. I'm not
sleep
a doctor.
Sleep paralysis, though,
sleep,
yeah.
Yeah, sleep paralysis exactly. Is a common name. I don't know the actual.
Yeah, it's some weird.
Like, technical.
Time.
I am not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. Anyways. But what happens with this is sometimes when you wake up, your brain is still emitting the chemical that makes it so you don't move in your sleep.
Right.
You are fully awake, but your brain is telling your body that you are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that this chemical exists so that when we're dreaming, we're not like walking around, like slamming into walls and like stabbing people or stuff.
Yeah.
Which could happen.
Well, that's what sleepwalking is.
And this is what sleepwalking is.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happens commonly is when you wake up with sleep paralysis, because your mind is still active, but you can't move and you can see your room,
mm-hmm.
you will start to hallucinate just these god-awful things like reapers and aliens.
This is where the shadow people come in.
And it's because your brain is trying to cope with this idea of, I can't move, I can see my room,
yeah.
I think I'm dreaming, but maybe I'm not dreaming, and just the innate terror inside somebody.
Well, it's so easy to tether a supernatural explanation to that.
Well, not just the explanation, but no, that's where you will actually see it. You'll hallucinate it because your subconscious will go, oh shit, this must be actually happening and trying to put something on that fear.
It's the same, it's the same chemical that your brain releases when you die, actually.
No, yeah.
This has happened to me before where I've woken up and I can't move. And then all of a sudden there's this old woman's face, like directly in front of my face.
Yeah.
And that's when I fully wake up. I can move around and I start screaming.
Right.
That's when up my wife and she gets pissed off at me.
By the way, I was very good there. I really wanted to interject a joke, but I didn't, so I was very good.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You set me up perfectly, but I'm just proud of myself that I did it. All
right. So Agent Amy also has a very chilling story about the Vestal Rail Trail. So take it away, Agent Amy.
Hi, everyone. This is Agent Amy, and I'm here to tell you a little story about a haunted place in Vestal, New York called the Rail Trail. The Rail Trail in Vestal, New York is now a very popular attraction site for many bikers, hikers, and dog walkers, but very few pedestrians think twice about the history of our beloved walking trail. On June 8, 1901, Lackawanna Western Freight Train No. 61 had stopped to take on water, not an unusual occurrence with the steam engine. But during that time, a double-header freight train was hurtling towards the stopped train. Now, a normal train accident can be disastrous, but there was one slight detail that elevated this wreck to catastrophic. Number 61 was transporting 5 tons of dynamite. The engineer of the Wildcat applied the brakes and blew the whistle, but it was too late. He leapt from the moving locomotive seconds before impact, leaving the Wildcat to collide and sealing the fate of 5 railroad workers, including 3 of his own. The explosion was so intense that parts of the engines were catapulted into the air and found 0.5 mile away from the explosion site. Windows in both the town of Vestal and the adjacent town of Union were blown out of their frames due to the severity of the blast, and the sound of the explosion was reportedly heard up to 8 miles away from the city of Binghamton all the way through the town of Apalachin. Today, all that remains of the Lackawanna train wreck is a plaque placed 1/4 mile from the beginning of the trail, although several locals have claimed to still hear the sounds of the explosions reverberating to this day.
Thanks, Amy. That was a huge explosion with the fucking train. Killed, I don't remember how many. Yeah, they killed a bunch of people.
A lot of people died.
Yeah, let's head back to Green to the Baron's Inn.
Yeah, I'd like to know that one.
There's been orbs, translucent balls of light that appeared in photography and in some supposed places, but apparently the Baron's Inn is one of the big ones around this area.
Yeah.
Stories and tales. One of the most haunted places is the Baron's Inn on Route 12 in Green. It was closed for a time period.
I was going to say, this was closed for a while, wasn't it?
It was closed for a while while deals were being struck. New ownership happened, and the new owners pretty much revamped everything. I haven't been inside, but the outside has been all revamped.
Yeah.
A new siding. They've got a fountain out there, and it looks great.
Probably really done it up, though.
Yeah, they really did.
Which, by the way, if you'd like to see some pictures, I just checked WBNG.com, which was our local news that went up there.
Yeah, two morning reporters a few years ago went up there and did kind of a ghost tour.
Yep, they went with expert paranormal investigator Bill Wenga and sensitive Mary Ann Downing. If you search Baron's Inn on WBNG's website, you can find the stories
That'll
about
pop
it.
Up. That's right.
If
I forgot they did
if
that.
If you're interested in looking a little more into it. Sorry, I just wanted to...
No, it's fine. It was actually in the article that I was reading, too.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't... No, they don't have the link in here, but...
Have you been to this place at all?
Baron's Inn? Yeah, I did some carpentry work, some plumbing work, and I worked as a a busboy for one night. I used to know the old owner. Oh, I did a lot of contract work for him. So I'd get fed, you know, we'd get done with the job and we'd go back to Barron's and I'd get a burger and fries.
Oh man.
I never knew about the Sherwood, the hauntings in the Sherwood, but I never knew anything about the Barron's Inn being haunted.
Yeah.
Apparently there was one of those guys, handyman, that died there and he roams the halls. Somebody died in the attic. There's another person that hung themselves. Yeah, the invisible little girl.
She was the one from the attic.
I think it was the guy from the attic, and there was a little girl that ran out on the road or something, got hit. And there was somebody else that hung themselves. So a lot of paranormal activity around this place.
Yeah. They hung themselves in the...
They hung themselves in a tree outside.
Oh, okay.
But there's been a lot of orbs. The two reporters got photographs of orbs. Apparently, one of the ghosts does not like female bartenders because glasses and things keep falling off the counters and off the racks every time there's a female bartender there. So
wow,
yeah,
sexist ghost.
This is another old building. Green itself was established in like 1789. Hey.
Don't excuse the ghost's bad behavior.
They're stuck in the time period.
Don't care. They're assholes.
The mind
call
frame
them assholes.
That they died in.
Look, a ghost Nazi is still a Nazi.
It's a valid point.
You do have a point there.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one.
You got another one, Wave?
No, that was it. As normal, I did shit with my homework, so,
I got one more that I wanted to say. There's this place up in, cause the Pine Bush alien stuff led me to this one. It's more of like an ancient evil, legend where it's called the Gravitational Tempest in Lake George, New York.
I've been there. It's a great place.
Yeah. The actual Gravitational Tempest?
No, Lake George.
Lake George. Beautiful place.
Yeah, you gotta specify here.
So, local Native American legends speak of a spot located in Lake George where an ancient god had appeared, said to have appeared long ago. His wisdom is said to still echo around the lake. Weird acoustics, spatial displacement, and strange ringing noises is said to occur at the spot. There's a large compass cut out into the ground, and some have claimed that if you stand directly in the middle, you can hear echoes and feel strange gravity swells, see shifting visions and of the sort while standing in this location, things that others around you cannot perceive unless they're standing where you're standing. So only one person can stand here at one time, and only that one person is able to, like, feel these and hear this weird echo and ringing, but it's only in this one location.
It's understandable, because if two people were standing in the same spot, then the echoing, it would be disrupted by the two people.
Yeah, it would have that destabilization of whatever occurrence is happening there. And of course, a lot of people have put in this, is it a slip in space-time, portal to another world, you know. So that was one of my favorite ones that I heard. While
that actually sounds cool. And
I want to check it out now, because it's not that far away.
Pine Grove?
Pine Bush.
Pine Bush. I'm going to have to check that one out. What do you got next, Rob?
I've got a couple little creepy tales maybe to, you know, tell you guys.
More local ones?
Yeah, more local stuff. I guess instead of going back to the castle, we'll end with the castle, which was the Psych Center.
Yeah, we did a lot on that one.
And then we'll just put this little, which I thought was just a little weird, and what I really would like to check up on at some point. I'll just read it straight up and see what you guys think.
Is this a different mansion?
What?
That you're going to read now? This is separate from...
No, this is just local lore.
Local lore. Yeah. Okay.
Spooky stories.
Gotcha.
This is just local lore. It has nothing to do with ghosts or any shit like that. Just a weird thing.
Weird happening.
Creepy shit that's happening around
which,
here.
There's some creepy shit that happens.
Wolf job.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I'll just roll right into it. Here we go.
Did you hear
so this is straight up. Now, we have a courthouse downtown in Binghamton, and if we go back in time to May 18th, 1871, we would be witnesses to the last public hanging in New York State.
Oh.
The person hung was Edward Ruloff.
Yeah, he was hung.
Yeah.
I'm like, knock.
What was his name?
Edward Ruloff.
Ruloff, huh?
Yeah. So I would encourage people to look this up and maybe let us know if this is all just horseshit. Here we go. Edward Ruloff, and by all accounts, he was a well-educated man and considered by many to be a near genius. In fact, this according to this article, his brain is on display at Cornell University as of 1970 as the second largest brain on record. So he was sort of a freak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a big head?
I don't know.
I want to go to Cornell and see if
he's the leader. That's a really big head.
It's Krang.
Ah. That's awesome!
I'm with the story.
Now, all right. Ruloff is unique because, by all accounts, he was a man who had the ability to succeed in life through his intellect, but often chose to take a criminal path. But, at a young age, he served 2 years in jail for embezzlement. But in later in life, he would go on to present his theory of language origins entitled Method in the Formation of Human Language, which he believed would become the definitive reference book in the field. Later, though, he was accused of beating his wife and daughter to death, as well as poisoning his sister-in-law and niece. He spent some time in prison, but was released on those charges due to a lack of evidence.
He ate it.
Yeah. ate the evidence?
He ate the bodies.
He ate everything.
And chased it with the poison.
Yeah.
He was immune to it.
So he was found guilty of murdering a store clerk. This is why he was being hung. And was sentenced to death. Although it can't be confirmed, our local lore has it that his last words were, "Hurry up, I want to be in hell in time for dinner." So defiant to the end.
That's kind of badass.
That is badass.
That's a badass last line.
That's pretty cool though.
And hell does have the best catered dinners.
Have the early bird special?
Every other Sunday.
I mean, that's the thing, though. You know it's good because Leonidas took 300 of his closest friends to go dine there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Great reference, Wave. He got one.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know about that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got any other local story tales?
Yeah, I just have one. And going back to the castle, the Psych Center, I think I have one more if I can find it now that my shit's all together and I've actually... There it is. Here we go. Sorry, folks. I'm a little disorganized this evening. I'll just go ahead and straight up read it.
It's the heavy drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the senior moments.
Well, yeah. And by heavy drinking, I mean cough syrup.
Yeah.
Robitussin.
So
and Diamond Tap.
Yeah. Can I get to this before I totally, like, get narcoleptic and fall asleep? Moment.
Yeah, that's right. It's, you know.
I forgot Diamond Tap existed.
What do you got?
All right. So this will be in reference to the Psych Center that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. This New York State Inebriate Asylum. Or the castle on the hill.
Well, speaking of inebriates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. this happened in 1993, and this was the recounting of a 13-year-old boy who went to work with his dad. His dad worked for the phone company. Apparently, they were going to put new lines in at the facility, which was still in operation at the time.
He brought his son along with him to do the installation?
Take your kid to work day.
That's true.
Yeah, it was winter break. You know, he'd probably just stay at home and play it himself anyway. So he said, "Why don't you lay some cable with me?"
Yeah.
There you go.
What era was this?
Would you say 93?
1993, yeah.
1993?
Yeah.
Okay, so they could have went down the road a little bit and laid some pipe instead.
There's another little, yeah.
By the way, I just did a little research. He definitely wasn't the last man hanged in New York State.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That would be John Greenwald. And that
it was 2 years ago.
December 6th, 1889.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And when was this guy supposedly hung?
1870.
Okay, so kind of close by.
Yeah.
In proximity. And they didn't have their fill of hanging.
Literally. Yeah. Well, it hung as in, like Nock was saying, but like actual, like hung by the neck.
Hang by the neck.
Not like a third leg.
Are you on the internet porn database?
What was this guy's name again?
The guy that was hung?
Yeah.
It looks like I'm floundering. It's Edward Ruloff.
Edward Ruloff.
Found him, yep. 18th May 1871. Murder of Frederick Merrick.
There you go.
Huh. Fucking Merrick. That guy was a prick anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah. So they go to the psych center to put some new phone cables in.
Uh-huh.
And this is his recounting. We didn't just work in the building. We worked under the building in the steam tunnels. My first day with my dad, I knew we were going to be in for it. To access the steam tunnels, we had to enter down a manhole in the south yard of the new building. When we pulled the steel manhole cover off, we swear we just released demons or spirits from hell.
Now, is this the manhole cover you talked about earlier that could go underneath the fence?
This might be, because it might be in the south yard.
I bet that's the same manhole cover.
Yeah, man.
And that shit, I mean, even just opening that manhole cover, it just feels weird.
You can research that. It's number 2. I think that's where it starts.
That's the second one there?
Yeah, yeah.
Number 2, it's the number that looks like a 2. Yeah. Got it.
So I will continue this. We climb down the shaft. Okay.
Boy, this is just turning all sorts of.
We climb down the shaft about 30 or 40 feet to the floor of the tunnel. It was so hot. Woo! Knock's gonna piss himself. He's holding back.
Just talk about that shaft.
Yeah, right? The floor, it was so hot that we stripped off our overalls.
What story is this?
And began to install the new lines. About 3 hours of work, we came to a crawl space that was made of very old brick. The crawl space was about 3 by 4 feet with an arch ceiling that was about 10 feet long. My father shined his flashlight into the dark and said,
"The blueprints say this is the way to go, son.
Oh. So this is the way we go." We went through first. He went through first, and I followed right behind him. As I was about 2 feet into the crawl space, I heard laughter behind me like two little girls, and then the old bricks in the ceiling started to give way as I was about halfway through. My father reached out and grabbed me and pulled me through as the crawl space collapsed behind us. We were in total darkness other than the dim light from my father's flashlight that shined through the dust from the collapse. We were now in a very old section of the steam tunnels from the 1800s. After walking a while in the pitch dark, we found a metal ladder that went up through a shaft and had a manhole cover on the eastern side of the yard of the old castle. So that's their harrowing tale.
That is pretty creepy. And I wouldn't doubt it with the weird shit that went down. That was the one in 93.
Yeah.
So yeah, long after all that.
Buy anything?
All that shit went down. No, that was interesting. I'll have to look that up a little bit. Later.
I also found, I didn't look into the other guys that got, I'm still on, Edward here.
Edward the Rolfe, final guy, right?
That appear, it may be, because I noticed that, yeah, the line was in his personal Wikipedia thing about, it says last public hanging.
Yeah.
So the other guys who were, because there's a good, 18 years of hangings after that.
Yeah.
But they might not have been public.
No, but it probably would have been in a jailhouse.
Yeah.
So well, I said public hanging, didn't
you? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so
we were just looking for a little bit more of clarification, that's all.
Okay.
Look, I like to know about my hangings. Okay.
We actually did do a next step research. The guy did exist. He was the last hanged man.
Publicly hanged.
Hanged man. So the story is possibly true. Now we have to find his brain.
Yeah.
The thing did say that it's on display in Cornell.
That's a Geek Yogurt field trip.
I want to go check that out.
Because they probably have a medical.
We can go see the Corning Museum of Glassville there.
Yes!
They have a mask of Medusa. Fucking awesome looking.
Oh.
That's cool.
That sounds
made out of ass. Glass.
Wait, yeah.
Green glass.
I just want them to make a hole.
I'm pretty sure her mouth is open.
I want them to make a hole in the glass.
The glass hole?
I want the glass hole.
You want the glass hole?
I'm in search of the glass hole.
Okay,
this is going to get really scary soon.
We've got to the end.
Smooth.
You can find the Geek Yogurt Podcast on Facebook by searching Geek Yogurt Podcast. What do you know? Find us on Twitter at Yogurt Podcast. And subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher.
Yeah, whatever you listen to.
Our main place is Podbean. It's geekyogurtpc.podbean.com. You can find us through the hashtag NerdPodcastMafia or the hashtag Pod and Family on Twitter.
Pod and Family. What up?
Yep.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for letting us do a guest episode for your own podcast, too. And I hope all you listeners out there enjoyed the spooky local stories.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. We might have to do this again.
Yeah.
Halloween's a few months.
Yeah, definitely.
What the fuck is that?
There's some musical outage for our show.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.